This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Who we got next?
Makaram, we have got a senior lecturer from the Canberra School of Politics, Economics and Society at Canberra University, Dr. John Hawkins, who's a bit of an expert in economic matters.
And good morning, John. How are you in our nation's capital, or are we speaking to you from somewhere else?
No, I'm in Canberra, Macca, and it's a bit of a dismal day, but light rain.
Well,
We had a torrential pour here last night, John, so yeah. Consider a light rain as being a bit of a blessing, especially when your house leaks.
Yes. Now, we wanted to talk about, John,
inflation.
The Reserve Bank, depending on who you read, but the Reserve Bank is looking at increasing interest rates either next week or after the election. Why is this important? We're in a time, inflation rate currently is 5.1%. That is lower than, for example, the UK and the US. But it's a pretty frightening figure for a lot of people, 5.1%, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the highest it's been since they brought in the GST around 2000. Yeah. And we've sort of had inflation rates more like sort of around 2% recently. So yeah, it is alarming in that sense. And certainly, if it's going to keep going up, that would be very alarming. As you say, it's a bit less than in the US or UK, Europe, a bit more than places like China and Japan. We're in about the middle of the pack there. And like the other countries, petrol prices are a large part of it. And that's a reflection of global oil prices, and that in turn is due to the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
So, John, can you just explain to our listeners this morning, what does a high inflation rate really mean for all of us? And what does it mean for our hip pocket?
Well, it means that the prices of the things you buy in the shops are going up at a faster rate.
So 5% is a pretty easy figure for people to understand, I think. 10%. Most people can work that out. So 5% is half of that. We've seen it. Fuel is a big factor, but in the basket of items that are used for the consumer price index, not everything is in there. There's a whole range of items. But I think the next item people are concerned about is interest rates and mortgage rates. There's already predictions, John, from financial commentators that the banks' profits over the next 2 years are going to balloon on the basis of increasing interest rates and their ability to, pass that on to borrowers. Do you think, how big a problem is the increase in interest rates, which is inevitable? How big a problem is that going to be?
Yeah, it will get passed on to variable rate housing loans fairly quickly, one would expect. And about a third of households have a mortgage. Not all of them will be facing higher repayments immediately, though. So about 40% of borrowers have a fixed rate loan where the interest rate only gets adjusted typically every 3 years or so. So it'll be a while before they have to pay more. Also, a lot of borrowers got ahead. They were making higher repayments than they were required to during the period when interest rates have been very low. And so those people also wouldn't necessarily have to start making higher repayments if the interest rate goes up for a while. So it might be a while before some borrowers are feeling the pain from it.
Do you think, John, you know, politically this is, you know, a really charged question? We haven't seen this inflation rate for 20-odd years. We haven't seen potential interest rate increases for the same period of time. There's a whole cohort of borrowers who perhaps have never experienced an interest rate rise on their housing loan. Politically, this is, my words, it's poison, isn't it?
Yes, and economically, it probably doesn't matter very much whether the Reserve Bank moves next week or a month later. Mm. But politically, it does certainly make a difference. The Reserve Bank put up interest rates during the 2007 election, and much to the annoyance of John Howard and then Treasurer Peter Costello, and it was suggested it was one factor that caused them to lose that election. So, yeah, it's certainly political poison.
Do you think, you know, the Reserve Bank is independent and they will make a decision based on the evidence?
Although this morning there were some reports from some commentators about pressure from Treasury.
Oh, I mean, do you think, John, do you think, I can't imagine that Josh would be ringing up the chair of the Reserve Bank and encouraging him to keep interest rates low. Do you think that happens?
I don't know if he'd make the call, but I'd be pretty confident that the governor wouldn't be swayed by it.
Yeah, and that's...
I mean, the Reserve Bank have said their interpretation of being politically neutral is that you make the same decision during election campaign you would have made if there wasn't an election campaign on. And that's what they did in 2007. I think that's what they'll do now.
Yeah.
What do you predict will happen next Tuesday? Will there be an interest rate hike?
It's hard to say. My guess is they will probably wait another month, and I say that because last month when they released their reasons for their decision to hold, they said they wanted to see two more pieces of data. They wanted to see the CPI, which they've now got, and they wanted to see what was happening with wages, and that number doesn't come out until the 18th of May. So I think they'll wait and see what's happening with wages, and then they'll decide whether or not to move in June, and probably they will move in June.
Mm. And look, I think the challenge here is going to be if it's unlikely to happen before the election, which is, you know, a view that you're musing about, it will happen. You know, we can't operate differently to every other financial market in the world. Those price rises for those on a variable rate loan that haven't, you know, got a redraw or who have paid forward, there's going to be some quite big impacts over the next couple of years, isn't there? That, you know, their rate is going to go, let's say 3% as a variable rate. It's probably going to go up 4 to 4 or 5% at least. That's going to be a big impost, isn't it?
Yep, it is. Banks are required when they're making loans to try to check that people would still be able to meet their repayments if interest rates were 3% higher. So if someone has borrowed at 2%, the bank is meant to check that they'd be able to meet the repayments if the interest rate went up to 5%. So if the banks have been doing that properly, people will still be able to meet their repayments and they won't be at risk of losing their house. But they will have a lot less money to spend on other things, so you know, they won't be able to eat out as much, or they won't be able to go out to a concert or something. Yeah. They'll have to cut back on some things. On your point about we'll have to put interest rates up because other countries do, not entirely sure I'd agree with that, because inflation is quite a bit higher and wage growth is a lot higher in some of those other countries that are putting rates up. So in the US, for example, inflation's 8.5%, wages are going at 5%. So they are, and also energy prices have been going up more than those other countries. So they are in a bit of a different situation to Australia.
One of the areas that I'm concerned about is the level of debt, not just the level of personal debt that people in Australia have, but government debt. You know, blame COVID, blame lots of things. You know, governments find it very easy to spend $10 when they only earn $9, or they only collect $9. Do you think, you know, from your perspective, are you concerned, or do you think about the level of debt that Australia is carrying?
Well, Australia's debt relative to the size of our economy, is the government debt is less than in a lot of countries, less than most of Europe, less than Japan, less than the US, for example. And while it's higher than it's been for a few decades, it's less than it was after the Second World War.
Mm.
So it's, in that sense, it's not that concerning, I guess. And we've still got a AAA credit rating, so the rating agencies don't seem to think we're at anywhere near a point where there's any question about us being able to repay it. But, I mean, it does mean that we're spending more money every budget on paying interest on the debt, and that's money that's not being spent on schools and hospitals and so on. And, you know, taxes will have to be higher to repay that debt over time.
Yeah. That's John, interesting.
John, we're out of time, unfortunately, but I was just going to say that I was just looking at your profile, and I can see that you were a former economic forecaster for the Reserve Bank and the Australian Treasury. So, that just gives even more credibility and weight to the work that you're doing, and I want to thank you very much this morning for your time and sharing with us your reflections on the state of our economy at the moment.
Thank you very much.
Okay, my pleasure.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.